तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनभीष्टं स्थपितं येन भूतले सायं प्रकदमायं ददति सर्वनन्दिगम् Prayers of Queen Kunti. She glorifies Krishna, and part of her glorification is describing the contradictory and even bewildering nature of Krishna. What is bewildering about Krishna? How he is equal to everyone, and yet when we see the activities of the Supreme Controller manifest in the material world, it doesn't at all appear that he's equal to everyone. Because if he was equal to everyone, everyone would have the same thing. But everyone certainly is not in the same circumstance. Rather, everyone is in completely unequal circumstances. But yet, he is non-partial, and yet he's the Supreme Controller. He doesn't specifically favor someone in the material world, nor does he show any disfavor. And most bewildering of all, as Queen Kunti expresses, is that that Supreme Lord, who is the creator of unlimited universes, who possesses unlimited power. Indeed, the creation of the unlimited universes is not done by any exertion of Krishna's power or a large percentage of Krishna's power. Rather, it is just an insignificant anks, mama tejo anks sambhava, Krishna says. By one part of my potency, I am maintaining and supporting this entire universe. So that Krishna, who is all-powerful, who is an Adir Govinda, the original personality, he's crying when his mother is chasing him and chastising him and threatening to tie him up with a rope and holding a stick in her hand. And he's crying so much, his mother puts the stick down, fearing that the boy will be too much traumatized by this, by fear and punishment. So she stops. She puts the stick down. This Krishna, tears are running down his eyes, fake tears possibly, because he wants his mother to think that he's repentant and that he's so afraid, so she'll stop. So she'll stop chastising him. And this is Krishna. So this is most bewildering. It is bewildering how the Lord can assume the incarnations as the boar, as Nrisimhadev, half lion, half man, as Matsyadev, as Parsaram. So many incarnations, Kapila Dev. But the most difficult to understand is that incarnation of Krishna. Because his Leela of Krishna is so much like the activity of as a human being, unless one is an exalted personality, unless one possesses exalted spiritual consciousness, unless one is pure from all material tinges, one can't help mistaking Krishna's human-like Leela as being motivated by the same type of motives that we would have if we were to perform those activities. Atmavan manyate jagat that one sees the world according to one's own mind. So when Krishna performs activities, we think, oh, I know what that's like. But actually, we have no access at all into what's that like, unless we hear directly from Krishna or the Acharyas. So those activities of Krishna are free from all tinges of the material energy. They're not forced or pushed by any lack that he has. When we are inspired to do something, we do it because we're lacking something and we want to get the thing that we're lacking. Some pleasure, some... If you have the best quality CD tape system, you don't buy one because you already have one. So when one is not lacking anything, as Krishna is, he's Atmaramayo. He's the supreme self-satisfied personality. What is his impetus to act? This is truly bewildering. Kunti Devi, or Prabhupada actually says in his teachings of Queen Kunti's book, that the reason why Krishna comes, and we're going to discuss that right now, to this world, is because he wants to. He's not impelled by anything external. There is no reason except his own ishtashakti, his own desire. And he fulfills many purposes with his desire. But there is no external impellation why Krishna comes to this world. So Krishna acts, yes, which is difficult to understand, but he acts in the world. Now why does he even come to this world? Now in text, in 32 through 36, it discusses, these verses of Kunti Devi's discuss the reason why Krishna even comes to this world. Now why do we come to this world? We come to this world not by choice. No one chose to be born in a particular family, in a particular place. No one chose, but one is simply forced. We find ourselves within a particular body and we get used to driving it. And we get used to considering the body us, but we didn't choose this particular body to be born at a particular place in time. We didn't choose that. If we had our choice, we might have made at least some small adjustments to our situation. Shorter nose, longer ears, something or another. We would have adjusted. But no, we are forced. But what impels Krishna to be born in this world? There's nothing to force him. He is the supreme force. He's all powerful. All powerful means, by definition, that he is, all the power emanates from him, and therefore nothing can force him to do anything. But yet, he does things, including taking birth in this world. So text 32. Kechiroho rajam jatam punyaslokas yakirte yado priyasyana yan vaye malayasyeva chandram. Some say that the unborn, because he's unborn also, it is also impossible for a materialistic person to understand how someone who is eternal and who is not forced, who is unborn virtually, Ajopi Samavyayama Bhutanam Ishwaropijam, although Krishna explains in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that he is Aja, he is unborn. But yet, he is born. So why? Some say that the unborn is born for the glory
How Thank you.